I actually have the honor and privilege to introduce our guest speaker this morning as Mark is wrapping up his vacation with his family and his time of rest. Our speaker this morning comes with many talents. Many of you have probably seen her serve in very, very many capacities here at the church, with one of them leading our kids men in a great and amazing way. I think it is a very strong positive of our church. And with that, I introduce to you Megan Wakeman, who's going to bring the message this morning. So please give her a warm welcome.
Good morning, church. I am so excited to be here with you all this morning. But before I jump into the message, I'm actually going to say goodbye to all my little friends and dismiss you all to Kidsmen. So go have fun learning about Jesus on that side of the wall with a super fun unit. You guys are going to have a lot of fun. So we will see you guys shortly. All right, so on this side of the building, we are going to be continuing on in Psalm 23. So the last 4 weeks, we've been kind of studying David and his words. He's the psalmist, right? And we're learning how the Lord is our shepherd, how with him we are lacking nothing, how he makes us lie down in green pastures, and how he leads us to right paths. And today we're going to pick up in Psalm 23, verse 4. And if you have your Bible, you can go ahead and turn there now. If you don't have your Bibles, that is okay. We will have all of the verses up on the screen for you to follow along with as well. So this specific verse is probably the most well-known of all of the verses that we have learned about so far and will through this series. It's one that has been widely used at funerals, and is often the hardest and can be the heaviest of verses, but is one that is, I also hope can provide a lot of hope and confidence and encouragement. We have been in the ESV translation, typically because that is the language that most of us are used to hearing this verse shared in. So we are going to read that in ESV this morning. Psalm 23:4 says, "Even though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I will fear no evil. For you are with me, your rod and your staff, they comfort me." Like I said, this verse is one that is associated primarily with death, but for many of us, we know that it encompasses so much more than that. As the kidsmen lead here at Fairview, I can confirm that we've talked about fears on that side of the wall, and the answers I would get on that side of the wall are probably very different than the answers I would get on this side of the wall. Asking some of my younger friends over there, they might say things such as snakes, maybe spiders. Is there any arachnophobia fears in this room? Maybe. Yeah, I see a few hands. Yeah. I did have a chance to learn about some fears and phobias this week that I thought were pretty interesting. And I didn't know maybe you guys have these fears. Claustrophobia. Anyone? Fear of small spaces? Oh, a little bit, maybe. This next one, I kind of understand. Epiphobia. If you spend time with this group, you may also be a little terrified of teenagers. It's the fear of teenagers, because we love you teens, but you can be a little terrifying at times, right? And then this one, I'm probably going to butcher it, okay? Listen carefully. Hippopotamostrosis squibidaleophobia. Whoever created this has a really twisted sense of humor, because it actually is the fear of long words. If you guys didn't know, right? So my guess is that most of you would never have thought of any of those phobias if I were to ask you, what are you afraid of? Or what do you fear? My guess is that if I asked you, you might have answers such as divorce, death, living alone, getting pregnant, not getting pregnant, losing a child, becoming homeless, a diagnosis, and the list goes on. And when I stop and think of those fears like death, diagnosis, those things that we just talked about, they all have something very similar in common. At the heart of so many of our fears is one thing, the unknown. We don't know what tomorrow holds, and that is what makes valleys so frightening. It would be much easier if we never found ourselves in the valley. That's true. That's the principle of the valley, right? The principle is, or the reality is, that each and every one of us, at many times in our lives, we're going to face times of tribulation. Following Jesus does not make us exempt from suffering. In fact, we are actually told that through the scriptures that we will face hard things. We can read this in John 16:33, and it reads, "I have told you these things so that in me you may have peace. In this world you will have trouble, but take heart. I have overcome the world." The principle of the valley is simply that every follower of Jesus will experience valleys. They are not evidence that God has abandoned us, but simply a part of living in a broken world. This morning, I want to do something a little bit different. We're going to do some teaching, but I also want to share my testimony because I know that there is power in testimonies, and ultimately, because this isn't my story to be withheld, but it's God's to be shared. So while there have been highs and lows throughout my life and throughout my husband's life, this specific part of our story starts in 2021. And Clark and I, we had been married for almost 7 years. We have three beautiful children, Brooklyn, Savannah, and Grayson. And we were desperately hoping for a fourth child. We knew that having that fourth child, our family would just be complete. And this is something we'd been planning for. And so we were so overjoyed that in April of 2022, we found out that we were expecting our fourth child. We were so excited. We announced it to all of our friends and family at Easter, but it was shortly after that that we started to recognize that this pregnancy was not progressing like all of my other ones had before. After a trip to the ER and several doctor's appointments, they could never find the baby. But all of my blood levels indicated that there was indeed life inside of me. And after these appointments, I was diagnosed with an ectopic pregnancy, where the baby is not growing where he or she is supposed to, but instead is growing inside of this tiny little tube inside of my body. This only happens in 1% to 2% of pregnancies in the human population, and I happen to be one of them. The fact that I also didn't know was that ectopic pregnancy is the number one cause of maternal death in the first trimester. Knowing that I might not get to watch my kids grow old, knowing that I might not get to grow old with my husband, that was gut-wrenching. That was terrifying. My body had to go through some pretty hard things. I had to do chemotherapy injections in my back to absorb the pregnancy. I had to do weekly blood draws and procedure side effects in hopes that nothing internally would rupture and lead to my death. It felt like an eternity had gone by, but roughly 8 weeks later, I finally got the call that my blood levels were right where they were supposed to be and that my care team felt comfortable enough to share that my body had been healed and that my life was no longer at risk. And I will never forget standing in my kitchen, and when I got that call, I think I was mostly in shock, so I did what I normally do when I feel overwhelmed, and so I started cleaning. I've got a very clean house, so yeah. I started doing the dishes, I put on my Apple Music, and mind you, at this time, I knew of Christ, but I wasn't really following him. I'd been to church a handful of times, and so I had a couple hundred songs on my playlist, and maybe 8 of them were like worship songs or Christian songs, and I put it on shuffle, and I started doing the dishes, and wouldn't you know, the first 3 songs that came on were Raise a Hallelujah, Ever Be, and Waymaker. And a feeling came over me, one that I just couldn't explain. And I just started sobbing, this uncontrollable sobbing and gratitude, and just everything started hitting me all at once. And in that moment, I prayed to God, and I promised to follow him for the rest of my life. I'm certain that married couples know this to be very true, but men and women process things very differently, right? I had processed this experience as we were going through it. My husband, on the other hand, he couldn't begin processing it until it was all over. He thought that he had to hold it all together to be the strong one in our marriage and in our family and in our relationship. And so he held it all in until he couldn't hold it in any longer. And then the waves of uncertainty and anger and fear started coming over him. And he knew of Christ from his time in campus life, in high school, and in college, but he strayed away. And so he didn't know what to do. And he turned to alcohol as a vice to cope with the pain, to numb the pain. That was a huge breaking point for our family, and we didn't know what to do, but God did. Even though I was new to following God and Clark had strayed away from him, God still had us in the palm of his hand, and he led us to Fairview. I wanted to be here to give my life to the one that had saved me, while my husband realized that he was in desperate need of saving. I got baptized in November of 2021, and I've followed Jesus as closely as I can since then. Clark, my husband, found a group of men to pour into him while he was wrestling with all of this grieving process. And so he has not struggled with alcohol since and has recommitted to following his life, or has recommitted to following Christ. And regardless of all of the heavy things that we went through, I will never stop praising God for that. So we get to the purpose of the valley, right? God can accomplish his purpose even in our darkest of valleys. Looking back, we could see God's hand. He took what was an incredibly painful experience, and he used it to draw us closer to him. We can be reminded of that all things are going to come and work for good. In Romans 8:28, it says, "And we know that in all things God works for the good of those who love him, who have been called according to his purpose." We could see that he was drawing us to him all along. He was healing us, growing us, and saving us in more than one way. We both had been growing in our faith, and I was a part of a community group. We were both serving our teams. Our family was healthy. We were enjoying time on the mountaintop. But we know that going through the valley will happen again. Because, again, just less than 2 short years later in 2023, we were facing what was without a doubt the darkest valley we've ever been in. After 18 months of praying that God would bless us with another child, we found out that we were expecting again, and she was growing so strong and so healthy, and we started stocking the nursery, getting things ready. We were just over the moon, right? And so I went to my first scan at 7 weeks, and I went in every few weeks after that just because pregnancy after loss looks a little bit different. And so we wanted to make sure things were progressing as they should. She's all healthy. So at 20 weeks, we went for our anatomy scan. I went by myself while Clark was at home with the kids. And we told the doctors, like, hey, I want you to figure out the gender and then put it in this envelope, and then we're going to take it home. We're going to open it together as a family, and it's going to be really special. And so I walk into the room, the doctor scans for a few minutes, and he says, "Excuse me for a minute," and then left the room. And panic and that fear of the unknown started creeping in, and my mind and my heart start racing. Was there too much fluid, not enough fluid, cleft palate? What could be happening? And I told myself, I'm sure it's nothing. And then the doctor returned a few minutes later, and his words hit me like a freight train. "Megan, I'm so sorry, but your baby no longer has a heartbeat." I was in disbelief, and I made him check again, because surely there was no way that after 18 months of praying for this beautiful child that we would have been given a child only for that baby to be called home. So he checked again, and the room was silent. There was no heartbeat. And we went home for the evening to pack our things and to tell our kids. And the next morning, we went to the hospital to deliver our precious angel, Nora May. Laboring this time was different. The room was filled with chaplains, bereavement coordinators, nurses that wanted to make this as easy as it possibly could be for us. At 2:39 p.m., we delivered our daughter. And the sound of silence in that room cut through me like a knife, cutting deep into my soul. For the first time in my life, I understood what it was like to genuinely weep, the kind of weeping that starts from inside and just consumes your entire body, that you don't know what to do, you don't know how it's going to escape, and you just fall. And you wail, and you cry out to God. Because what else is there to do? How else do you respond when the room that should be filled with crying is silent? How else do you respond when they place your child on your chest and instead of warm skin, you feel ice cold skin? I find myself living in this insanely dark valley. How was I ever going to get out of the literal hell that I was living in? This time, I knew how. I knew that the only answer was God. Praise God for being a Father who is always present with us. Whether in the valleys or on the mountaintops, we can trust and know that our Father is always with us. That's that presence in the valley. We can be reminded of this many times throughout our scripture. Isaiah 41:10 says, "So do not fear, for I am with you. Do not be dismayed, for I am your God." Deuteronomy 31:8 says, "The Lord himself goes before you and will be with you. Do not be discouraged, for the Lord your God," "He will never leave you nor forsake you. Do not be afraid. Do not be discouraged." Then the last one, Joshua 1:9, "Be strong and courageous. Do not be afraid. Do not be discouraged, for the Lord your God will be with you wherever you go, even in the dark valleys." We can be reminded of this in our text for today as well. If we go back to Psalm 23:4, we can see that we weren't alone and that no one's alone in our darkness or our suffering. It says, "For you are with me, your rod and your staff, they comfort me." So we've got a picture of a rod and a staff, and that is what those things looked like. It was what was used to guide and protect the sheep. A shepherd could use the rod to fight off any predators, and the staff was used to guide the sheep where the shepherd wanted the sheep to go. It wasn't used for discipline, to beat on the ones that were out of line, but rather a tool to gently and lovingly guide the sheep back to the path that they were supposed to be on. The staff was used by placing the small hook next to the sheep's side and just giving a little bit of that gentle pressure to keep them where they needed to be. We know that sheep's are not very smart, right? Often they would get themselves tangled in brambles or bushes, and then the shepherd would need to use that staff to help them get untangled and freed. The rod was symbolic for authority and power, while the staff was symbolic for comfort and care. And the sheep didn't need to fear because they knew that their shepherd was with them the entire time, that he was watching over them and guiding them to higher ground. If we go back to the text, look at the language that David chose to use. Pay attention to the word, how he chose to use the word walk. He says, "Though I walk through the valley." He didn't say run. Why is that? When you run from something, it can show panic. It can show fear. It can show trying to rush or escape from something. And when you walk, it can show calmness. It shows peace. David reminds us that the focus is on God's peace and God's presence rather than on the fear itself. We don't need to rush through the valley because we can walk through the valley step by step with the Father. Also notice how David's language changes in verses 1 through 3. He is saying, He makes me lie down in green pastures. He leads me beside quiet waters. He refreshes my soul, right? He's saying he. In verse 4, though, what do you notice? It changes. It changes because David isn't speaking in third person about God anymore. He's talking to God because he knows that God is right there with him. "You are with me. Your rod, your staff, they comfort me." Fear can be what brings us closer to the Lord. It's often in those dark valleys that we turn to God, where we can find that relationship with him, where we feel his presence even more. David knows that he isn't alone and that God is with him, just like a shepherd is with his sheep. Raise your hand if you've ever been to the zoo and ridden the train ride. Anyone know what I'm talking about? Yeah, we've all been there, right? So I think back to the first time that I rode it with my kids, and we get on this train, and they either sit on my lap or right next to me. We inevitably take a selfie, right? And then we take off, and we start going, and the arms are down, and we're just waving like little clowns to all the people around us, right? All the passerbys waiting behind the arms. And we ride for a little bit longer, and it's pure joy. And then all of a sudden, it gets dark. And we're in a tunnel. And they don't know we're in a tunnel. They don't understand that. They understand that it's dark. And so what do? They could scream. They could turn to you. They turn to the one that they trust. They cling to the one that they trust. Shouldn't we be doing the same with our shepherd? God had let me know that he was with me multiple times through the people that he had placed in my life. After the anatomy scan, I called Clark, and I called my mom. She was going to go over to the house to watch the kids so that Clark could come be with me at the hospital. And as I'm waiting, I hear a knock at the door, and God was already providing for me and showing me that he was already with me and that he was always with me. And walked a familiar face that I'd seen at church and interacted with. I didn't know super well at that point, but in walked Myra Klusner. And she held me as I sobbed, and she let me share my heart with her, and she just held me. I think that was God's way of using her to comfort me. In the hospital, the provisions from God through his people continued, and Mark came to pray by our bedside with us, read scripture to us, and love us. Moms who'd experienced loss connected with us and tried to help us through. We felt the love. We felt God's love. A day later, we handed our lifeless child over to the nurse one last time, knowing that we'd never see her again on this earth side. We went home, we held our kids, and the love from others continued to overflow. We had visitors stop by, and they brought us wind chimes and flowers and hugs. We had a meal train that lasted for several weeks that you guys took care of us. We had people that we could share pictures of her with and show her tiny little handprints to and share our story with. We had people praying for us, and I can't imagine how we would have gotten through it without any of those people that God had intentionally placed in our lives. God was using our church to help lead us out of the darkness. He comforted us through the body of believers that were being the hands and feet of Jesus, that were helping us, feeding us, caring for us when we needed it the most. I want us to go back to our text for the day again because there's something really important that I hope you all were able to notice. Even though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, did you notice that it says, even though I walk through the valley? It doesn't say I stop there, or I stay there, or we die there. Rather, it's a place that we are passing through. It is a temporary passage, not a permanent destination. God brought the Israelites out of Egypt, and I know will bring us out of whatever valley we find ourselves in. Even death is not the end, but is a doorway that leads to an eternity with God. Jesus came, died, and rose to overcome death. And knowing this, we should feel comfort, knowing even death itself isn't something to fear, because we know it is a path to a much more perfect life with Jesus. What a gift to know the good shepherd himself, Jesus. John 10, 14 through 15 says, I am the good shepherd. I know my sheep. And my sheep know me, just as the Father knows me, and I know the Father, and I lay down my life for the sheep. So sheep have been taken to the mountaintop through the valley for two reasons. The first, it is the safest path to higher ground, and it's also the path that provides the most amount of water and lush green grasses. There are rivers, streams, springs, and pools that can be found along the valley. Sheep get to be refreshed by the water that they find in the valley. We get to be refreshed by God in the valley. Even in the midst of the difficulty of the valley, we can find that he is leading us to refreshment in him. Going through the valley can actually be the path that leads us to closer relationship with God. I found myself yearning to get closer to God, to have a more intimate relationship with him, but we cannot get through to the mountaintop unless we first climb through the valley. When we lost our daughter, Nora, I struggled to understand what God was doing. I could have stayed angry. I could have strayed away from God. I could have stopped attending church, but I didn't want to. I knew that no matter how hard this was, God still loved me and was still good. I trusted him, and I knew that he'd covered me before, and I knew he was going to do it again. It wasn't until months and months later that I truly started to see the good that he was bringing from this valley. He was growing me, stretching me, and if I'm honest, my eyes were not fixed on him before any of this had happened. I was so hyper-focused on bringing this new life into the world that I have lost sight of everything else, of the blessings that I had been giving, not neglecting my kids or my family or anything else, but I just wanted this fourth child, right? That was the one piece that we've been missing, right? We just were hyper-focused on it. And I can tell you right now, today, my reliance is 100% in him and him alone. I can also tell you that had I not gone through the things that I did, I wouldn't be up here today. Had we not walked through those two valleys, I don't believe I'd be fit to lead your kids' ministry. And I certainly wouldn't be up here sharing God's goodness and his faithfulness. As painful and as hard and as dark as these valleys can be, God uses the valleys as one of his greatest tools for shaping us. When we face these valleys, I hope that by following Christ, we can react to them in a different way than the rest of the world might. That we would know we have a shepherd guiding us and loving us so that we can react calmly and fearlessly. These valleys provide moments for us and even for others to be refreshed by his living water, where we can experience his life-giving and life-changing love, where we can fully be present with God, and where we can experience him in a way that maybe we never had before. We get to serve and follow a God that is faithful, who loves us, who cares for us, who never leaves us, and is so close to us. I'm going to invite John and the band up, and my encouragement as we close is that I hope that when you inevitably find yourself in a dark valley or even facing death, that you would be reminded that God is closer than you realize and that you can cling to him and allow him to guide you and to grow you, that he has overcome death, knows where he is leading us, and is always with us, and that he loves you deeply. I'm fully aware, though, that right now in this moment, there may be some of you in this room that might be going through the darkest valley you've ever faced. And we, as a church, have the opportunity to be the hands and feet of Jesus for one another. So in the back, I'm going to have some prayer team members who want to pray with you, who want to pray for you, who want to be there for you, who want to walk alongside you for whatever you might be going through, because it can be heavy and it can be scary, and there is power in prayer. We know that God is with us, but I also want you to know that your church is here with us. They're here with you too. So if you see any of the prayer team members with the red lanyards in the back, I encourage you, please go get prayer. I'll be up front, and I would love to pray over you. So I'm going to pray, and John and the band will lead us in a final song. But church, God often comforts us through his people. Just as he surrounded my family, he wants to surround you today. Don't leave here today carrying your valley alone. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, I thank you for today. I thank you for the opportunity to gather this morning and to learn more about who you are and your love for us. Father, though it may be hard, I thank you for the valleys that you've brought us through and will bring us through. God, we thank you for being an ever-present source of comfort and guidance. Help us be reminded that we need not fear the valleys that we may face, because you and your ways are greater. For those finding themselves in the valley, would you continue to show up for them in ways that they need, God? Place people in their lives to comfort them and to spur them on towards you. Would you continue to guide them and to give them those gentle nudges like the sheep would, in moments of encouragement when they need it the most? Father, would we all just never lose sight of your goodness and your faithfulness? Thank you, Jesus, for giving your life so that even death should not cause us to fear or to worry. May we meditate on your truth and on your word so that we can store it in our hearts. Holy Spirit, would you press on the hearts of those in this room that may be in a valley as we pray? Help them to come forward and allow others to lift them up and to cover them in prayer. God, would you move in the hearts of those that are on the mountaintop and help them to discern who in this building or in their lives are needing extra prayer or encouragement? God, would you just help people to step in and be the hands and feet of Jesus while they navigate the dark valley? God, would you help your people to love one another well and let all that they do bring glory to you? Father God, we love you, we praise you, we honor you. We pray all of this in your precious Son's name. Amen.